Radio Prague News. The lower house of parliament has passed a bill introducing criminal liability of firms. Interior Minister Jan Kubice has briefed parliament on the outcome of an investigation relating to a breach of security at Prague's international Ruzyně airport. And Czech dramatist and scriptwriter Jiří Hubáč has died at the age of 82. The lower house of parliament on Tuesday passed a bill introducing criminal liability of firms, which would enable courts to fine them, seize their property, or even abolish them for serious offences. Under the amendment, the Chamber of Deputies extended the list of crimes for which business entities can be punished to around 80. The government-proposed bill will still need to be approved by the Senate and signed into law by the President. Interior Minister Jan Kubice on Tuesday briefed Parliament on the outcome of an investigation relating to breach of security at Prague's Ruzyně airport last month. In order to test security at the airport, a journalist from Aktuálně.cz got himself hired as an airport guard and smuggled several banned items past clearance, including a knife, a fake bomb and a pepper spray. The Interior Minister said this was due to the negligence of an employee whose job it was to check all employees entering the airport. Mr. Kubica said no systematic mistakes had been revealed. He said security had been reinforced and promised that the security measures would be revised if they failed for a second time. Czech dramatist and scriptwriter Jiří Hubáč has died at the age of 82. Mr. Hubáč spent much of his life working for Czech television, from which he was dismissed in 1974 for political reasons. In later years, he established himself as a successful freelance writer. He is best known for his plays Unripe Raspberries, The Fall of Icarus and Migrant Birds. Hubáč authored a number of popular television series, including Three Blokes in a Cottage, Eliška and Her Family, Good Water and Ambulance. An original version of the Bible with illustrations by Spanish surrealist artist Salvador Dali has been published in the Czech Republic, and a copy is to cost almost 77,000 crowns. The first copies will be given as gifts to Prague Archbishop Dominik Duka and President Václav Klaus. The 900-page Bible, weighing 12 kilos, has been published in 444 copies. Archbishop Duka will receive the first copy of the new Bible during a mass in Stará Boleslav on Wednesday, September 28th, the country's national holiday. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be sunny to partly cloudy with day temperatures over 20 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, an historic day for rail commuters as the first competition to Czech railways rolls out onto the tracks. And bison are making a comeback in a former Red Army base. Later on in the program, then, Czech history and the raging reporter Egon Erwin Kish. All that and more coming up in today's show, so do stay tuned. It was an historic day for commuters Monday as the first RegioJet train rolled out onto the tracks, the first ever challenge to the state-owned Czech railways. Though the brand new RegioJet has only three trains, travelers from Prague to Ostrava or vice versa now have a choice of services for the first time, and it looks like the competition is going to get interesting. The sound of this music doesn't mean you've died and gone to heaven. You're only sitting on the toilet in one of the new yellow wagons serviced by Student Agency, the company that has been offering inexpensive luxury bus rides around the Czech Republic and Europe for a decade now. This is how the new RegioJet plans to rival a virtual state monopoly on the railways, with hitherto undreamt of services for passengers. Free newspapers and beverages, free internet service and better mobile phone signals, cheaper tickets, cheaper food, more space, cleaner surroundings, modernized trains, electrical sockets and stewardesses. It's a revolution in cross-country train travel in the Czech Republic, and the kings of the rails aren't happy about it. Antonín Blažek is a deputy director of Czech Railways.
Česko veřejnost seznamoval se svými záměry, že to budou nejmodernější vlaky, luxusní vlaky.
The Czech public has been hearing about getting the most modern, most luxurious trains with 6 classes and so on for a long time. And as we see, 5 years later, we do get yellow trains, but they're reconstructed 30-year-old wagons with 25-year-old locomotives. I don't deny that they have nice interiors for the time being, but I would contend that we have similar trains. The difference is that we have 3,000 wagons. About 150 of those have luxury interiors as well. And you will see many changes to come in the trains of Czech railways.
Indeed, the lavatories of Czech railways' long-distance express trains were surprisingly free of graffiti and stickiness on Monday as journalists with cameras piled into the wagons to compare services. By coincidence, Czech Railways said, they had chosen the day to begin handing out not water and coffee as on RegioJet, but Pepsi-Cola, and only on the Prague to Ostrava line that their new competitors have inhabited. Watching the services war commence will be interesting to be sure, particularly how it will affect prices. Traveling by train until now has not been a particularly cheap affair, particularly with 200 crown mandatory reservation fees tacked on to Czech Railways' upscale Pendolino trains. With RegioJet, the Prague to Pardubice service, for example, is almost one-third less expensive, 130 crowns compared to 335. Still, the fledgling company has to face up to an important obstacle for any would-be railroad tycoon. Czech railways are still faster. Radim Jančura is the director of student agency.
Czech railways may be faster, which is certainly important for some people, but when you're paying twice as much for it as in our trains and aren't able to work on the internet, then it's worse. In any case, that's a decision that's up to each individual customer. I don't expect to win over every customer, but our presence on the railways will be a benefit to everyone, to customers and even to Czech railways.
Well, that's certainly not the last we've heard from Radim Jančura. In time, the company intends to heavily increase its traffic on the Prague-Ostrava line. And next stop after that, Brno. This is Radio Prague. Half a dozen European bison have been returned to the wild at the Ralsko Nature Reserve, a former Red Army military training ground about an hour's drive from Prague. It's the latest chapter in what is a remarkable reversal of fortunes for Europe's largest mammal. Hunted virtually to the point of extinction, in recent years they've made something of a comeback. Rob Cameron has been to see them and has this report.
At the end of a gravel track, deep in the heart of the Ralsko Nature Reserve, is a large sloping meadow bordered on three sides by a sturdy wooden fence and on the fourth primeval forest. Standing in the middle of this field is a group of magnificent creatures, their shaggy brown coats and curved horns a sharp contrast to the bright green of the grass. They are European bison, and they haven't been seen in these parts for 200 years. The man who's done more than anyone else to bring them back is Jiří Janota, head of the Military Forests and Farmland Department of the Czech Defence Ministry, which administers the Ralsko Nature Reserve.
It is rather ironic. This was, after all, once a Red Army firing range. But disused army training grounds often boast some of the best preserved natural environments in the country, because for decades they were closed to the public. Today you'd never know that masses of troops once held their exercises here. In 2000, we built the second largest natural reservation on this spot, and now it's home to this small herd of bison you can see behind me.
6 bison, 5 cows, and a bull were brought here from Poland earlier this year. They seem to like it. The herd has produced 2 offspring. At present, they're confined to two meadows and a swathe of forest, 16 hectares in total. It's to acclimatise them before they can be allowed to roam freely through the huge Rauskor Reserve, which covers an area of about 250 square kilometres and is open to cyclists and hikers. European bison were once a common sight in Europe's forests and grasslands, from northern France right across to Siberia. By the late Middle Ages, however, they'd been hunted virtually to extinction and survived in the wild only in Poland. In 1919, a Polish poacher shot the last one. But 10 years later, in 1929, two cows and a bull from zoos in Sweden and Germany were brought to a Polish breeding station and were protected even by the Nazi and Soviet occupiers. After the war, they were reintroduced to the wild at Poland's Białowieża National Park. And since then, they've gradually been returned to forests all over Eastern Europe. But the bison program is just one part of Rauskor's recovery from its centuries-old history as a military training ground. Founded by Habsburg Emperor Joseph II, successive armies, Austro-Hungarian, Czechoslovak, Nazi and finally Soviet, pummeled the rolling hills with artillery and clawed into the ground with tank tracks. A huge dry-cleaning facility where the soldiers' uniforms were once washed of oil polluted the soil with dangerous chemicals. Peter Kvapil is in charge of a program that uses nanotechnology to clean the groundwater of pollutants.
This product is carcinogenic, so it's very dangerous. And as it is an organic material, it's low soluble in water, but enough to be dangerous. Mm-hmm. So as it is low soluble, it can contaminate really huge volume of the water. And here in this site, we are in one of most important aquifers, underground aquifer in Czech Republic. That's why we are doing this remediation here.
At the nearby Hradčany airport, meanwhile, once home to a squadron of Soviet MiG fighter jets, the empty hangars are being used as impromptu sawmills, and the huge runway has hosted both tuning meets and techno festivals. Rauskor has served its military purpose, the Cold War is over, and the Russians are gone. Czechs are slowly reclaiming the land as their own, and indeed donating part of it to one of Europe's most beautiful mammals.
Many thanks to Rob Cameron for that report. To those of you who may just be tuning in, thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Christian Falvey. Later on in the programme, we'll have our language learning show, Soundcheck. But first, our weekly Czech history. One of Prague's best-known German language authors was Egon Erwin Kisch, whose excellent style and original choice of stories, together with his dramatic life, earned him a reputation of the raging reporter that is still very much alive today. Jan Richter has this edition of Czech History.
Egon Erwin Kisch searched for the legendary golem in the attic of the Old New Synagogue. He reported on the lives of prostitutes and petty criminals. He wrote about the achievements of the Soviet Union and described the execution of war criminal Karl Hermann Frank. The scope of his writing and the style he developed made him one of the most popular German language authors of Prague, although he spent just about half of his life abroad. His leftist views and membership in the Communist Party ensured his works came out in Czech even under the communist regime, and made him perhaps the most read Prague German language writer with Czech readers. Egon Erwin Kisch grew up in the multilingual environment of Prague, which with its Czech and German communities produced a number of original artists such as Franz Kafka, Franz Werfel, Paul Lepin and others. Veronika Takerová teaches literature at New York University in Prague.
From our contemporary perspective, the Prague German authors developed, well, maybe not only German, but one could also speak about their Czech contemporaries, developed a certain distinct vein of modernism. And this is what we valued today. And the question is how much their particular situation of the multilingual, multi-ethnic circumstances and conditions contributed to the development of this sort of modern style.
Kish's writing developed over the first decades of the 20th century, from the popular neo-romanticism of the period to his original style. Although a popular saying has it that nothing is as old as yesterday's newspapers, Kish's reportages are still read today. Vera Glosíková is the head of the German Studies Department at the Pedagogical Faculty of Charles University and a member of the Prager Literaturhaus, an organization devoted to the legacy of the city's German literature.
Kiš vždycky věděl, že psát jenom suché fakta a jenom informovat.
Kiš always knew that information alone is not enough. He realized that he had to grab the reader's attention and amuse them. He applied literary means, lyrical touches, dialogues, descriptions and a lot of tension. He would follow a story and only disclose its essence at the very end.
Až ta koncová pointa nějakým způsobem odhalí to nejpodstatnější.
Born in Prague on the 29th of April 1885, Egon Erwin Kish grew up in a German-speaking middle-class Jewish family. After studies at Prague's German University and after a brief stint at a Prague newspaper, he went to study journalism in Berlin. When he returned to Prague, he joined a liberal paper, Bohemia.
There he served from 19 or worked from 1906 or 7 to 1913, and he started as a local reporter. That means that he was reporting on events that happened Prague locally, and he very much was successful as writer. Especially his angle was focusing on low sort of low classes, on sort of everyday life, even sort of criminal affairs. And his reportages or his articles from that period were published in the Saturday supplement of the paper, and they were so successful and so distinctive and so unique that he was able to publish them later on in a collection. It was his first collection of these short pieces.
The book called Abenteuer in Prague, or Adventures in Prague, came out in Leipzig in 1916, when Kish was already fighting for the Kaiser on the battlefields of the First World War. When it ended, his old country was gone, replaced by the newly established Czechoslovakia. Germans were no longer the dominant community in Bohemia and Moravia, and many writers, including Franz Werfel and Rainer Maria Rilke, did not identify themselves with the new country. Věra Glosíková again.
Museli vnímat spoustu věcí jako nepřátelství vůči sobě samému.
They must have considered many things in the new country as hostile, the anti-German sentiments, sometimes even anti-Semitism. All this must have been difficult for them. The old world no longer existed, and they had to adapt to the new situation. But I think Kish had no problem with that, and his Czechoslovak passport, in fact, saved his life.
Rychle. A že československý pas mu vlastně zachránil život.
In the mid-1920s, Egon Erwin Kish moved to Berlin, where he worked for local papers and was also the German correspondent for the Czech daily Lidové noviny. By then he was a well-known communist, and when the Nazis took over in 1933, he was arrested in connection with the fire of the German parliament building. He was only released after Prague intervened and moved to Paris after that. In the 1920s and 30s, Kish toured many parts of the world, including the Soviet Union, China and Australia. There, the authorities would not allow him to enter the country because of his communist views, and he famously jumped off the ship onto the pier, breaking his leg. He described his experiences in another of his books, Landfall in Australia. Kish joined the Communist Party of Czechoslovakia shortly after it was established in 1922. Although he defied the authorities and manifested no ideological tendencies in his writing, he failed to reflect the truth about the Soviet Union, which he visited in the 1920s. Other Czech communist intellectuals showed less loyalty to Russia's new regime, most notably Jiří Vajl, who was even expelled from the party over one of his Russian-themed novels. Věra Glosíková says Kish's motivation for not reflecting the truth was a mystery even to his friends.
Musím říct, že to je záležitost, o které jsem přemýšlela mnohokrát a mluvila jsem o tom kdysi i s paní Elenkou.
I have to say that I have thought about this many times and I even talked about it with Lenka Reinerová, who knew Kish personally, and she could offer no explanation either. Kish was there in the early 1930s, and even if he did not know the whole truth, there were enough signs of what was really going on there. Why he never published this, whether he thought that negative reporting might hurt what he considered the positive things about the social experiment, I can't really answer this.
Uspořádání lidstva, tohle opravdu tuhle otázku nedokážu zodpovědět.
With the outbreak of the Second World War, Kish escaped to the United States, but his reputation as a communist made his life difficult once again. After some 9 months of internment at Ellis Island, he eventually arrived in Mexico, where he stayed until the end of the war. Egon Erwin Kish returned to Prague in 1946, but was already ill, and he died 2 years later, just weeks after the communists took over. The new regime highlighted his socially-minded reporting, and until the rediscovery of Franz Kafka in the 1960s, Kish was the most popular and best-known of all the German-language Prague writers. And by use Veronika Takerová again.
It contributed to his popularity that in East Germany his collected works were published by a prominent publisher. But for example, he was quite popular in the 30s and 40s in English-speaking world, and in the 1990s his work came out in America. It's even a question whether had he lived and experienced the communist regime or the Stalinist regime, whether he would maintain his communist ideas. I think it's quite likely that he would be in some kind of clash with the dogma.
One of Kish's most famous reportages describes his quest of the Golem of Prague. He was the first to enter the attic of the old new synagogue in search of the mythical creature, and although he didn't find the clay monster, Kish's stories have become part of the same extinct world as the Golem itself.
That was Jan Richter with that edition of Czech History, first broadcast in April of 2010. Topping off our show now for today is the next edition of our Soundcheck series, where the Czech language meets the language of music, and brought to you on this occasion by Jan Wellinger.
Kdož jste boží bojovníci a zákona jeho?
Welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, looking at expressions in the Czech language through song lyrics. In today's episode, we look at sayings associated with the word battle, or fight, which is boy in Czech. The featured song is called Kdo jste boží bojovníci, sung by Daniel Landa, related to the Hussite Wars. Bojovníci means warriors. We'll be looking at fighting, not in a historic context though, but more on a comic book level. Why fighting? Well, for one thing, it seems that physical combat has become an ever more dominant element in recent genre films, from all manner of thrillers to adventure to science fiction. And not just one or two scenes either, but usually the film's resolution, the grand finale, the grand battle to the death. In Czech, a fight to the death is boj na život a na smrt. Some of the recent films? Well, there's the giant knife fight between the blue guy and the bad guy at the end of Avatar. There's the beatdown between Robert Downey Jr. and Jeff Bridges in Iron Man. And there's Daniel Craig as a far tougher and meaner James Bond in both Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace. Fight scenes have become grimmer and grittier, almost all a boj na ostří nože, a fight on the knife's edge. No one ever runs or turns back. In Kdo jste boží bojovníci, Daniel Landa sings, bojujte, před nepřáteli neukíkejte. Fight, don't run from your enemy. And the same applies here.
Má na svého v srdci mějte, proč asi bojujte. A před nepřáteli neutíkejte. A s tím veselé.
The climactic fight in some genre films can sometimes achieve something like cult status, at least for internet geeks. The granddaddy of them all is Sigourney Weaver in her mechanized suit taking on the xenomorph at the end of Aliens. But there are many more to choose from. Jean Reno's Victor the Cleaner fighting his way out of the embassy in La Femme Nikita. Luke Skywalker, of course, clashing with his dark father, and more recently, Hit Girl in the comic book fantasy Kick-Ass, with one of the more disturbing fight scenes in a while, considering she's just 11 and wipes out a whole crew of drug dealers. That is A Boy au Jivot, Mortal Kombat, a fight for sheer survival. Nevzdávejte, don't give up. On the whole, however, I have to admit that this kind of thing in genre flicks is getting just a little bit tiring, like facing the big boss at the end of a level in a video game. How many times can we see similar such endings in popular films? Worst examples would have to be the Lara Croft movies, where it's probably more fun to play the actual game. By comparison, it's usually more exciting to watch characters overcome their own limits by using their heads, and too few Hollywood films show that. Indiana Jones would be a good exception, and Harry Potter another. Of course, they still fight when they have to, and don't run away. Yet, trzeba bojovat. It's important to fight. Most of us face far more pedestrian challenges in day-to-day life than something like taking down a bitchy insect in space or taking revenge on a drug clan. Thank goodness. After all, who would want the pressure of really being a Dark Knight in a psychotic Joker's world? Sure, it would be great if we could clock some comic book badass in the mouth every once in a while, but as we all know, the majority of real-life problems are too complex, delicate, or important to be handled like that.
That was Jan Wellinger with Soundcheck, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always glad to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or of course by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.